Item 2 is a text amendment under the City of Winnipeg Zoning Bylaw Number 200 of 2006 for the Academy Road Neighborhood Main Street Plan Development Overlay -1 under file DZ-208 of 2010. The applicant also has a presentation that they will be going to.
All right. PDOs are important for two reasons. First of all, it's an opportunity to reduce negotiation on individual development applications and make the community's expectations more open and transparent. So the developer knows ahead of time what the city's expectations are, and that can help to reduce community conflict on the individual applications. As well, we can achieve a higher quality of urban design over time by implementing the aspects that are in the PDO. So the plan development overlay is adopted as a part of the zoning bylaw, would be a schedule at the back of the bylaw. It does have limited scope and capacity. It's not existing development would be grandfathered, or what we call retaining a non-conforming right. So a little bit about the steps in the planning process that brought us to where we are today. We did some background research and data collection starting in January 2010. Then we pursued this community visioning exercise to confirm the issues and direction, and we divided the study area into characterization areas or precincts. Jackie's going to tell you a little bit more about that. That occurred in February, and we had at our initial workshop sets 79 people. Then we had a public open house to review the draft direction strategies and develop standards for the PDO in March. We had about 100 people at that one. And then we started to draft the PDO bylaw into technical bylaw language, and that went through internal technical and legal review. Then the counselor's office conducted some informal community communication on his own, and that brings us to the public hearing that we're at today for formal approval of the bylaw amendment. In terms of the approval process, after the public hearing is closed, as the clerk said, there's no further public representations, and the community committee can make a recommendation to approve further without conditions or reject or amend the PDO. From here, we'll proceed on to Standard Policy Committee, EPC, and then Council for Bylaw Approval. At this point, I want to turn it over to Jackie to tell you a little bit more about the community consultation process.
Okay. First, I'll just talk about when we went out to talk to the community. We were really talking about urban design, and urban design has four elements. I was all distracted. And so those four elements, one is the landscaping of the street or bringing nature to the street. A second is how people move down, up and down the street, so that movement on the street, however that's happening, cars or pedestrians or bicycles. The third is a sense of place, how Academy feels as a place, and the fourth one is the real character of the commercial that's in located there. So from a landscaping perspective, what we really heard loud and clear from the community is that they really want more trees and greening of the street, a real desire to enhance the public sidewalk, whether that's with street furniture and amenities and those sorts of things. When we talk about that movement or how to get up and down the street, again, this theme of increasing the walkability of Academy was really important, and in particular trying to get better north-south connections. Right now, Academy is pretty fast, and those north-south connections are really important, and there could be more of that. Also, managing parking demands was a huge issue, and making sure there was parking available for the Academy businesses that are there. Also, slowing traffic to accommodate pedestrians and the residential character of the street. From a sense of place perspective, the aesthetics were by far a huge issue. Everyone saw Academy as very unique in Winnipeg, and it has a character architecture. They'd love it if those hydropoles could go away, if the lighting was unique, if there was less item clutter. They really want to maintain the charm of the street. Those are the kind of comments that and things that we got from people in the workshops that we undertook. Also, they really want to maintain that small, intimate character, the residential character of the neighborhood, related to building height and hours of operation. The fourth piece of urban design ends up being the character of the commercial. And it was also incredibly important to both residents and business owners that the variety and the liveliness of the local business was part of life on Academy, and a very important thing to consider going forward. Low density, small scale, intimate local shops with limited hours of operation were kind of what's happening there and what was desired to keep happening there. And some ideas on additional building design considerations would be that the community seemed open to that. Now, I've talked about those four elements of urban design. As you can imagine, very few of them relate to zoning. So the zoning ones are what you're going to hear about that are in this PDO. There's other issues, of course, that should need to be taken forward elsewhere. So the next step we worked with is talking about the different character areas along Academy. Academy is not one big strip of something the same. There is very distinctly the business area in the west part of Academy and the business area in the east part of Academy, and you can see these on the map. rail right-of-way as a business area in the west, and business area in the east being from just west of Queenston, west to Oak. And there's the middle area is very much residential. So what we they ended up needing it to be treated differently in the PDO. One PDO treatment across the whole area wouldn't create that unique character that was desired by the community. So the area on the west and the area on the east is referencing the shops and services area to really describe exactly what's going on there and what's important. And the area in the middle, talking about the living area, this is people's most of the side of people's homes, but these are people's yards where they live, except for a small cluster of commercial and the Warbank intersection. So you'll see that being a sub area of shops and services in the PDO. So that's kind of the story that developed working with the community. And this is when I'll turn it over back to Valdine, because she'll show you exactly what is in that PDO for the shops and services area and then for the living area.
Thanks. So this is where we started into the bylaw drafting process and filling out the regulations for each of those areas that Jackie described. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about them. Area 1, the shops and services area on the west as well as on the east, and then a sub-area of that, Area 1A, in the middle at the Warbank intersection. So it stretches from Lockwood on laneway east of Lockwood to the former railway corridor and Kingston to Oak on the east. The zoning in this area is a mix of residential densities and commercial. C1, two C2 properties at the Warbank intersection, one C3 property, this large property here, that's still RCMP property, and then the residential medium and residential large. The lots and the buildings are oriented to Highway Road, and it's a pretty stable commercial business district with about half capturing a market that is citywide and beyond, and about one-third serving the local neighborhood. Jackie's firm did some surveys on that basis to come with those. The intent of this area, and you'll see this read the PDO, is to promote and encourage a unique and vibrant small business district or academy, minimize the impact of commercial business on adjacent residential areas, maintain a pedestrian-oriented environment, and promote high-quality built form and character. So in specifics, in terms of changes to land use, if I was to summarize the intent and gist of the PDO, I would say that PDO is future-oriented, and it has very little impact on existing properties and uses, except when they want to expand or redevelop. And it affects mostly the C2 and C3 properties that are there, and any properties that would be rezoned to those categories later on. One of the first changes that we looked at was advertising signs and some of the uses in the bylaw. So we are proposing to prohibit advertising signs, which is third-party advertising, on a different site from where the business is located, check cashing facilities, drive-thrus, and pawn shops. These uses are already listed as not permitted in the C1 zoning district as well. And the reason for that is that we believe that car-oriented uses like drive-thrus are not appropriate in the neighborhood Main Street context, that advertising signs and billboards are out of scale and they're much oriented to vehicles, and pawn shops and check cashing facilities are deemed objectionable uses in many circumstances, and those uses are also being restricted in other similar neighborhood Main Street areas throughout the city. In Area 1A at the Warbank intersection, we're proposing that drinking establishments would be prohibited. The reason for that being to reduce the impacts of those uses, like noise and late night departures of customers into the adjacent residential area. In terms of use specific standards are additional standards that are applicable to individual uses to manage the introduction of the uses into a neighborhood. So use specific standards can be based on the size of the operation, the hours of operation, someone wanted to amend or vary, or sorry, be different than any of those recommendations, then they would have to apply for a conditional use for that. Changes to dimensional standards. First of all, for multifamily and commercial buildings, the portion of the building exceeding 25 feet must be set back 10 feet from the front wall. Means is that for buildings over 25 feet, the upper floors would have to be set back 10 feet from the front wall. And this is to reduce or prevent the shadowing of the opposite sidewalk, especially if you have patios on the opposite side. Secondly, multi-family or commercial building may have a front yard of 10 feet to accommodate outdoor dining areas and other public amenities. So this is a more enabling clause, but right now the restriction is 7 feet. Yard in the zoning bylaw, but we're allowing it to go back to 10 feet. Changes to parking and loading. Accessory parking, loading, and service areas must be located behind or beside buildings. Again, that's to reduce the amount of parking lots that will be facing the street up to the edge, and keeping business activities to the rear or to the side of the building as much as possible, enhancing that streetscape along the Academy. And so if someone wanted to change any of those standards, changes to signage. We're proposing that electronic message center, freestanding, and mobile signs be not permitted. Currently, electronic message center signs are not permitted in C1 as well. And we're proposing that because we think that those types of signage are oriented to vehicles and they don't add to the pedestrian atmosphere of the street. We're recommending that signs should have fascia on the face of the building or building mounted, like projecting signs. 90 degrees from the building, and our consultation program supported that most people felt that the signs should be pedestrian oriented and at the scale of the street. Other PDOs in the city restrict signage in this manner. Boulevard Provence requests that all signage must be attached to buildings, and Downtown Transcona PDO indicates that freestanding signs should be limited to 6 feet in height, but really their preference is for building-mounted signs, whether it be awning or canopy or fascia, etc. With respect to mobile signs, again, we're responding to the community's desires expressed at the workshops, open houses, to prohibit mobile signs. It was the least preferred type of signage. And mobile signs are really intended for temporary, special events type signage. They're not meant to be a permanent form of signage. And we're proposing to improve the aesthetic appeal of Academy Road and the city's one of the city's commercial corridors and business areas, so that we can attract more business to the area, more economic development. In addition, we're trying to raise the bar on urban design. Mobile signs are not permitted in the downtown Transcona PDO and the St. Norbert PDO, which are the two new ones that we worked on in association with this project. And I also wanted to point out that Policy Committee on Property and Development has recently passed a motion to look at electronic message center signs and report back. The Winnipeg Public Service is supposed to report back to that committee in 180 days. So that is also ongoing at this time. And if someone wanted to change these requirements, then they would require a variance. Changes to building standards, and this is where we get into some of the urban design details. First of all, the intent is to introduce architectural elements and building features that will encourage activity and vitality at the ground level and add variety to the streetscape, reduce the appearance of building mass and height, and make it more appealing and interesting. So in terms of specifics, we're proposing that public entrances for multifamily and commercial be oriented to Academy Road and must be directly accessible from the sidewalk. Commercial development, a minimum of 30% of the facade that faces the street must be composed of materials, and this board here helps to describe some of these building design features. Transparency talks about 30% of the front wall being in transparent materials or windows. Multifamily and commercial buildings that have a facade greater than 30 feet in length must incorporate architectural features to interrupt the facades. the intent being to maintain the and respect the integrity of existing residential uses and limit non-residential uses. So we propose to prohibit commercial sales and services uses, which includes things like drinking establishments, restaurants, offices, personal services, clinics, and retail sales, and a whole bunch of other things. And the rationale being that the lots in this area are not configured to accommodate commercial development because of their orientation. They have the narrow end of the lots and building entrances facing the side streets, and they're generally too shallow. And that wraps up the details on the PDO. There was, in the report, mention of a couple of additional issues that came up outside the PDO that aren't something that we can deal with in a plan development overlay. Jackie mentioned some of that as well, in terms of having a broader approach to streetscaping and addressing pedestrian safety along Academy Road. So the residents had requested improvements to the aesthetic quality of the street in terms of the hydro poles and other streetscape type improvements. The city's response to that consultant recommendation was that there's currently no funds in the city's capital budget for a streetscaping program on Academy or in the Building Communities Initiative right now, but that might be considered in the future. And with respect to the issue of pedestrian crosswalks and traffic safety, we've discussed that with the Public Works Department. And Academy is a regional street, so we have to be cognizant of balancing regional objectives with neighborhood desires. And it is something that will require additional review and analysis by the Public Works Department in terms of study and analysis of the traffic volumes and pedestrian volumes on the street. So they're certainly open to considering that, but we have to go back and determine how additional studies could be accommodated there. So going forward, the department's Winnipeg Public Service recommendations in the report are that the PDO be adopted as a schedule to the zoning bylaw, and then after that, the next steps would be to take this forward to council. So we're hoping that that would receive your endorsement, and I think that wraps up our presentation.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions? No? No? Okay, you can come back after. In support, I have David Marsh. Do you wish to add anything?
I'm Scott. No,
you're here as the applicant, actually, with the city being an applicant.
No.
So nothing to add.
You've got nothing to add? Martin Sanders? With Denise
is a wonderful fit for the community of River Heights, and I would like to one day have the opportunity of having my business in my home. Therefore, I would like to take this opportunity to request that the PDO line be amended to include my property at 500 Academy Road, which will enable me to apply for rezoning of my property to C1 in the future.
Do you have a question?
But they're done. They're not done. No. Are you done?
Oh,
Denise, you're done.
I'm done.
Yeah. If there are any questions for Denise, I'll stand down.
Yeah, no, I just have one question. We've been meeting for a long time now throughout this process, so I understand your situation. When you, I guess my simple question is, you're planning to live in the home, so why do you need to rezone it? Why don't you just leave it as a home-based business?
Well, I've applied for a home-based business in the meantime, but I would like to have what I have at 484 Academy within the confines of the home that I'm living in.
And so you can't do so in the home-based business? Is that the problem?
Well, I've applied for it, but I haven't had a decision made, but that would be done with restrictions, right? With the commercial zoning, then I would be able to carry on the business as I am at 484 Academy.
Okay, maybe it's...
And hence eliminate rent at one space and mortgage, so...
Well, I'm assuming you've moved your whole business, regardless if it's a home-based business or if we move the line to the new location.
Pardon me?
Your idea is to move out of the old location.
Yes.
New location,
yes,
regardless if it's a home-based business or C1 property. Is that correct?
Well, I prefer C1 property.
Of course. I'm just trying to get clarity on that. Okay. Is there...
And the rationale for that, through the chairperson, if I may, is there are certain limitations that are typically attached to home-based businesses that if the property was instead zoned to commercial to allow the business that Denise has described, some of those conditions would be the size of the operation, retail sales as opposed to a more mail order type of business, mm-hmm. things of that.
Oh, I see. Okay, so there's home-based restrictions.
The business kind of puts it in a tighter box.
I see. Okay, no, that's fair. No, that makes sense. That's it for me.
Okay. Martin, did you have something?
Yeah, I do. And with your indulgence, I've got a handout I'd like to provide. It basically summarizes my presentation. I'm going to have to read some of this, and bear with me, I forgot my reading glasses. I'm here on behalf of my client, Denise LaVoy, who lives at 500 Academy Road. As she's indicated, she's here to support the PDO generally, subject to some modifications. So I'd like to suggest that there are three options for modifying the PDO that will satisfy my client's interests, and those are outlined in the outline. In any event, there is a preferred option, but there's three of them that I'll put in front of you guys. Option one is to approve the PDO for the entire area as advertised and as presented tonight. But to exclude the property, my client's property at 500 Academy Road, from that one of the proposed bylaw. So effectively what you do is you just take a square around her property and she'd opt out, which the implications are that the property would retain its underlying single family R1M zoning, and that if she were to come forward in the future, oh, and there's also another PDO in place, the Airport Vicinity Protection Area, yeah, is also in place for a portion of this neighborhood, so that would remain in place as well. So she'd not be subject in her property to the PDO as advertised. So a future development proposal would be considered on its own merits at that time if she were to come forward to rezone to allow for the business that she's proposing about location. So with a continuous PDO from the former CNRO point line to basically Oak Street, interrupted in the center with a little square of opting out, kind of looks a little silly, but nevertheless, that would still work for my client. It's the ultimate form of spot zone. Option two would also work for my client, is to approve the PDO, but to modify the text of the proposed bylaw as it applies to Area 2, the Academy Living Area, in order to accommodate commercial sales and services uses in prescribed circumstances. So I'll draw your attention to subsection 5.3, which now reads, under the heading Permitted Use Restrictions, 5.3 says the following uses are prohibited and not allowed as permitted, conditional, accessory, or temporary uses. And then under letter A, commercial sales and services uses. So what we're proposing as an option is to modify it by adding the following under commercial sales and services uses. It would read, unless the following criteria can be met, and those criteria, there are six of them, the sales and services uses are established in conjunction with a residential use or uses in a mixed-use building. The sales and services uses are restricted to the street level of the mixed-use building. The mixed-use building is an existing house or is constructed as a house form building. The mixed-use building is oriented so that its commercial sales and services uses face and have customer access from Academy Road. The property is located adjacent to an existing commercial sales and services use. And the sales and services use may be established as a principal use via a residential zoning district type. Now I emphasize the word may. The implications of this proposal, the text amendment that I've outlined under option two, are the proposals to convert existing houses to mixed-use buildings or establish new mixed-use buildings may be considered at that time on their own merits, subject to restrictions that retain Academy Road's character, retain or add to living opportunities along Academy Road, and protect the integrity of the adjacent residential communities that are north and south of Academy Road itself. By providing property owners, administration, and council with parameters for considering future mixed-use proposals in Area 2, this option is workable, but is still somewhat awkward and is not the preferred option. Third option, her preferred approach, is to approve the PDO, but to expand the boundaries of Area 1A that are currently indicated here. You can see it on this map. But effectively, that small area of commercial shops and services that will be the intersection of Norbank Street. So approve that, but move the boundary to include the property located at 500 Academy Road in an area that accommodates shops and services. So effectively, you'd expand Area 1A by including Denise's property at 500 Academy Road. So this will become 1A rather than 2, as it's indicated under the proposed bylaw. The implications of this option are that it's a fairly straightforward adjustment. In order to establish shops and services at 500 Academy Road, a rezoning application would still be necessary. She couldn't do it just because this new PDO is in place for her property if you guys elect to modify the boundaries. Community committee would then have an opportunity to consider a subsequent rezoning application and approve, reject, or approve with conditions, potentially requiring the property to conform with the criteria identified under the second option, or by any other reasonable conditions. You'd still have that opportunity if she comes forward in the future with a commercial rezoning or a rezoning that allows her to operate the business as she's described. Again, this is my client's preferred option. So in order to anticipate some questions, as you guys know, Denise isn't the applicant. She doesn't have the opportunity to come back and respond to any questions. So we're going to try to deal with some of those. And the big one is, why would community committee recommend modification to Area 1A boundaries to include 500 Academy Road, other than pure self-interest, of course. Beyond that, first off, it meets a complete community's direction for neighborhood mixed-use corridors, namely a combination of the two directions. One is to promote the location of new development within existing clusters of commercial or multiple family development, and to support the minor intensification of neighborhood mixed-use corridors, keeping in character with the surrounding neighborhood. Complete communities has been described to me, I believe, approved as bylaws, a secondary plan for the entire city. So many visions aside, that's your policy context for introducing new zoning regulations along Academy Road. The second reason for supporting the change in boundaries, the proposal exemplifies or builds on the strengths of the area articulated by the community and captured on the strengths and weaknesses presentation report that was prepared and displayed, I understand, at the March 23rd, 2010 Academy Road PDO House. And those strengths are walkability, variety of businesses, trees, pedestrian friendly, size of business, and in parentheses, small is good. Shops, diverse, local and independent, long-time businesses. Character, quality, unique. Neighborhood scale, scale of trees and buildings, character of architecture, eclectic scale and architecture, and appropriate houses being kept as commercial rather than being torn down. This is what I understand the community told the consultant team and staff in that open house or a previous workshop setting. The third reason to support the modification in boundaries is that 500 Academy Road is within the central area option one status quo, residential with limited mixed-use presentation board that was displayed at the March 23rd, 2010 public open house. I hope that that would be here somewhere tonight. It's not. But at that open house, there were two options that were put in front of the community on display boards, is my understanding. One showed this entire stretch effectively, area two, as being available and open for unlimited commercial not what Denise is looking for. However, option one, as I said, is described as the status quo residential with limited mixed use. And I wouldn't take my word for it, but I'll tell you anyway. Within that area, there's a smaller sort of squareoid shaped object that includes effectively this property at Lindsay, my client's property, the church, Island Dove, all of these properties that make up the existing commercial cluster. So those are the two options that were presented. The more limited option, my client's property is located within that more limited option. I hope that's clear. The fourth reason is to provide some controlled breathing room for limited expansion of commercial shops and services uses at an existing commercial cluster. Similar to the expansion opportunities that are available to existing multiple family, duplex, and single family properties, evident in Area 1 at the west end. So this whole stretch, there's some existing apartments and duplexes, as well as Area 1 east between effectively the lane just west of Queenston Street all the way to, oh, as you guys are no doubt aware, there's some fairly recent single family dwellings that are located along more development rights than my clients as the bylaws currently propose. So those are why we feel that the community committee should recommend the boundary change. The second question then would be, why wouldn't community committee recommend modification to the Area 1A boundary to include my client's property? So I'm giving you the ammunition. Because properties abutting Academy Road are currently and will continue to be suitable locations for single family development, noting that Academy Road is a regional street that carries up to 20,000 motor vehicles daily at a measured speed approaching 60 kilometers per hour. Second reason to not recommend modifications because these properties are better candidates for multiple family development than for commercial or mixed use developments. Noting again that this area is also within a portion of the air purpose and the protection area that limits the extent to which someone can develop the property for multiple family purposes along Academy Road and so within Area 1 or Area 2 or Area 1A. Third reason to not modify the boundaries is because these properties are more suitable for unspecified non-residential uses, such as agricultural, public and institutional, cultural and entertainment, private motor vehicle related, transportation, utility, and communications uses, or industrial uses. Noting that these may be a worse fit than the residential, commercial, and mixed use development. And finally, because there are existing empty storefronts along Academy Road, whether they have been abandoned, whether they're indicated as being for lease or for sale, noting that demand for existing commercial space has been outstripping supply along Academy Road for several years. So finally, and I'll leave you guys on this one, wouldn't it be great to see a main floor shop or service use with second floor residents as an ideal prototype for a neighborhood high street such as Academy Road? representing vertical mixed use, based on what people who name things call this, versus horizontal multiple use. So you're integrating commercial and residential within the same structure, the same property, with the main floor being devoted to shops and services and residents above. If so, you could do this utilizing either of a couple of other tools that were introduced in the zoning bylaw that was approved back in 2007 and applies to this area prior to the PDO that's on the table tonight. These two tools are, instead of zoning to C1, neighborhood commercial district, along with a PDO tool, what you could do instead is, somebody in Denise's circumstance, is to rezone to residential mixed use district, which would then accommodate small-scale commercial in multiple family buildings. Or she could rezone her property to residential two-family district or residential multiple family district with dwelling, live, work use, a new use under the zoning bylaw that accommodates small-scale commercial in conjunction with residential uses and is in fact an expansion of what would be eligible. That's effectively all that I have. Again, if you guys have some questions, fantastic. We, of course, don't have the opportunity to come back and respond.
Some questions for administration.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's administration.
Oh, the administration.
It's up to the applicant.
The applicant.
Thanks a lot.
To the applicant.
Do you want me to leave these maps that show the two ones?
Just wants it.
Nope. Okay. We have also registered in support with modifications, modifying the forms here. Alan Slapp, did you wish to come up?
No, I just want to support of
registered in support. Oh, you're in support of the okay. That's the way you wrote it that way. Okay, so you'll register you in support. We don't have a support with modifications column
we may
officially, but we understand. Rhonda Uretsky. Are you just here also in support?
Yeah.
Okay. Anthony Pesky? You here?
Yeah.
Do you wish to speak at all?
Yeah.
Okay, come on up.
Hi, my name's Tony. I have a business at 432 Academy Road. Is the service station at Academy in Houston. I own the business there, but I also own the land. Now, I feel like I've been in a bit of a bubble because I just found out about this information myself about 2 weeks ago, so if I'm a little bit ill-informed, I apologize. But one of the things I know for sure that Academy Road's a fantastic street. I've been there since 1983. There's been many changes. I think there's great neighbors on the street. There's great shops. And the fact that it's known as for its high-end shops and boutiques kind of takes the garage away. I'm sure most of the people in the area at some point when the garage is gone, it's going to improve the whole image of Academy Road. And that'll happen at some time, probably in the next 10 years. In fact, quite often over the years, I've had many offers on developers coming in and wanting to do things. I can understand... Us talking about not wanting pawn shops and drive-throughs, and I'm all for that. Certain businesses shouldn't be allowed on Academy Road. But one of the things, a couple of things. First of all, as a landlord, I've owned this land since 1983, and it continues to have its use stripped away, which to me devalues my land. The fact that, first of all, let's just for a moment to try to put a blanket policy in all the different businesses on Academy Road, because you know we can see we have people here with different scenarios. Some are living in residential, some have businesses, some are on the east, some are on the west, and the buildings are very different. In fact, mine's probably one of the most different on Academy Road, myself and the other building, the other automotive station at the west side of Academy Road. We sit way back. So a lot of the scenarios that are put in this policy here are not conducive with my building or my business. First of all, the signage for one thing.
Just for clarification, I'm sorry I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just realized that you're listed for information, and so I just didn't ask if there was anyone else in support before. Okay, so now usually we go into people in opposition and information, but we can hear you now anyway.
Did I put information?
You did put, what did you want to put in opposition or support? Where did you want to put?
Well, I suppose I'm two ways, that's my point.
So that's why you put that. Okay, well, we can be a little bit flexible with the order, but just so there isn't any confusion, that's what we're trying to do, is people in support, people in opposition, people for information. Okay. So go ahead.
So going back to the signage issue on my property, I have a freestanding sign. And where we were discussing before that the signage should be put right on the building, no freestanding, no mobile. My building sits back from the front line about 50 feet. So me having a sign on my building wouldn't make any sense. People would be driving by and not seeing me. When we talk about, again, bringing up, making the same scenario for all the different businesses, I don't see how it can work. Everybody has different uses. My use is completely different than, let's say, Mindy Greenwood would have it at Adelaide Dove, and she's stuck right in the middle. So I don't understand where I would come in having a scenario with my signage. Something will happen at my property within the next 5 to 10 years. The fact that I'm being stripped of all kinds of uses of this property that's happened over the last 30 years as a landowner upsets me, because, of course, my taxes have never come down. In fact, they continue to go up. I love Academy Road. I see that it's improved immensely. We've done some great things. I've seen that over the last 4 or 5 years. It's been beautified. We have more landscapes. We have some areas now, sitting areas, correct? Mm-hmm. So my biggest scenario is primarily with the signage. And I don't think we should be blanketed all in the same policy. And one thing I want to use, is the conditional use always an option? Conditional use is always an option.
We can ask the planner all those questions after.
Okay.
We'll take your comments in.
Yeah. And when we talk about mobile signs, that are only allowed for certain events. I could say that I have a couple events a year to use a mobile sign. My events would be my spring and fall, which are two seasons that I get busier. Is that classified as an event?
We'll answer all those questions after.
Aside from that, of course, I can't speak for many other of the my neighbors on Academy Road. Like I say, I can't understand how we can use one blanket policy. It's a vibrant street. It continues to grow. I think it's done phenomenally over the years. But again, I'm a little upset that we continue to strip use of a lot of the property. And I speak primarily for myself, because I probably have one of the biggest chunks of property on Academy Road. And I'm concerned for the future if I continue to have to come to these meetings. And this is probably the fourth or fifth meeting that I've come to over the years, and I know there's been others, because I haven't been present at all of them. Thank you.
Are there any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll now go to those in opposition. There was nobody else here in support that wishes to speak. Okay, Barb Miles?
Yes.
Do you wish to come forward?
Well, my name is Barb Miles, and I'm representing 545 Academy Road, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3NOE2. I am here on behalf of Mr. John Keshi, the landowner of this address, landlord to Sushi California and Samarin's Unexpected Treasures, and business operator of S&T Spa Salon. We wish to be registered in opposition to the Academy Road Neighborhood Main Street Plan Development Overlay File DAZ 208-2010. First of all, we'd like to thank the City Center Committee for listening to our concerns about the new Academy regulations, Councillor Smith, Bassey, Also, we want to express our appreciation to every business owner, landowner, and resident who is here in support of the new Academy Road regulations. We very much like and respect our neighbors, and our concerns are in no way a reflection or commentary on positive relationships we have with the surrounding community. Mr. Catchy is a resident of Winnipeg and who has been a landowner on Academy Road for over 15 years, operating S&T Spa Salon for the same length of time. S&T Spa Salon is a well-respected premium Aveda Salon Spa that offers everything from haircuts, manicure, pedicures, facials, body wraps. Our clientele includes many local residents of River Heights neighborhood, as well as people from all over Winnipeg and surrounding areas. We employ 20 people, many of whom live in the area and nearby neighborhoods. Mr. Catchy's concerns as a resident and landowner, small business operator, can be summed up as dismayed, disappointed, and discouraged. Dismayed that no one from the city of Winnipeg came to our shop to tell us that the city was going to add new regulations and take away our existing land rights. Disappointed that no one from the city of Winnipeg dropped off any information or offered to provide us any explanation of what was going on and how our business would be negatively affected. And discouraged that no one from the city of Winnipeg took the time to contact the most affected landowners to ask us about our concerns and notify us about this public hearing. We found out about these regulations from our customers last past Saturday morning. We are appalled at the complete lack of respect that has been shown by the city of Winnipeg for not engaging with one longtime resident and small business owners who continue to invest in the community. As we understand, electronic signs are allowed in some locations on Academy Road, and mobile signs are allowed all along Academy Road. A few businesses along the street do use these signs. We have used a mobile sign in the past and have been recently looking into getting a new electronic sign like Stephen and Andrews. With our business set back off the street, signage is very important. We too are interested in enhancing the neighborhood, have never received a complaint, and want to continue that. However, under the new Academy Road regulations, these type of signs will not be allowed. Rest assured, this is our neighborhood too, and we would never get a sign that would hurt the quality of life for our nearby residential neighbors. And we are more than willing to work within size or other regulations, but oppose the loss of our rights to have these signs that are commonly found across Winnipeg, including community centers, schoolyards, Assiniboine Park, and the zoo, just to name a few. We also understand that there are new regulations and restrictions for restaurants for Academy Road. Sushi California has been a well-run, good complimentary addition to 545 Academy Road. As a tenant to Mr. Catchy's building, the restaurant is around 1,500 square feet. And when you calculate bathrooms, kitchen space, storage areas, administration space, etc., space that is required by the city under the building code and is needed to meet the government's regulations for operating a clean food handling establishment. The gross floor area of a restaurant that can be quickly be eaten up, not leaving much space for customers. The new Academy regulations will only allow a restaurant to 2,500 square feet of gross floor area. What is that based on? What background studies with the restaurant industry have been done to determine if a restaurant of that size can even make enough money to pay rent, pay staff, and have enough customers to survive on? Sushi California has no plans to expand, but we are concerned that should it need to add more space to meet new food handling regulations required by government, the Academy Road regulations will not allow it and force it to close down. These are some of our concerns, and we have not had much time to prepare for this, but we thank you for taking the time to listen. It would have been much better if we were asked up front, or better yet, if the city took the time to better understand our needs and activities. We urge the committee to reject the administration report by P. Reagan and V. Thorgrenson of the City Public Service and their recommendations for the new regulations and restrictions for Academy Road. We ask the councilors to instead allow us the land use rights that others have across Winnipeg, or for our ward councilor, John Arroco, to explain to the landowners, customers, employees, and tenants why we are losing our land rights. Thank you.
Yeah, just a question. Is this is landlord or the businesses there, are they a member of the biz?
Yes, he is.
Okay, interesting.
Well, yes, I believe.
Yeah, no, that's, I just want to make sure. And the sign that's presently on the lot, do they consider that a mobile sign or a permanent sign? What do they consider?
I believe that would be a permanent sign.
Some would say it's a mobile sign, maybe permanent. Okay, that's my question. Thank you.
Next, I have Mindy Moss. Do you wish to speak or just be recorded?
I'm fine. I'm hearing plenty of opposition. I'll
be recorded. Sandy Polanski.
I didn't email because I did not think I'd be here this long, but I really feel that I have to speak. So
okay, we'll come forward.
Come forward.
And perhaps the letter that I emailed
could
be read, and then I could, or I could talk further. John knows I like to talk.
Yes.
Okay. I have lived in the neighborhood of River Heights off of Academy for 35-plus years. I know Tony since 1983 and before. On Academy Road, there were four garage stations, Tony's, where my business is, and two others. And in 1983, when our building was built, which was built with the line was a filling station, and it was built further back, and the parking at the front, because that's, at that time, that is what the city of Winnipeg wanted. They wanted parking in the front to make it easy, and the building is behind. People go up and down the street. They don't even know what businesses are. Flat on the street doesn't see. My letter states, I believe, that people can come up and down Academy Road, come into the store and say, I've never been in your store before. I've lived in Academy all my life. I don't know, because when you go by, you don't see. We're so far back. If Tony says it's 50 feet, I would agree with that. So I'm in opposition to having the mobile signs restricted. I really feel without it, it is a detriment to my business. So thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Christine Evans.
I'm here for information only, and also hearing lots of opposition to you.
You've got both boxes checked off. Opposition. And
if you could pick one.
Could you pick one?
It gives you the same right.
Yeah, I'll go for opposition.
Sure.
Okay. We are, unfortunately, it's like one of those multiple choice tests. Pat Lewick?
She's had to leave. She's
okay, so she'll be recorded in opposition. Tracy Edmonds-Lackey? Is she here? I guess she had to go too.
She's
recorded in opposition. Oh, I see. You filled out another one, Tony Kessie.
No, it wasn't. My point was information. That's for the minute.
Oh, there's okay.
Oh, you jumped.
Yeah. Okay, so you're a different Tony?
Am I a different Tony?
I'm Anthony.
There's an Anthony and there's a Tony. Oh, that's why I got confused. Okay. So do you wish to speak?
Anthony, no.
No, I'm okay.
No, okay. I'm confused. One said Anthony, that one said Tony.
Still a lot of my problems.
So I'll just ask, Anthony, you're in opposition?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm just going to change that to Anthony, okay?
Okay, and is there anyone else who, I have one person here for information, Scott McDonald, but before that, was there anyone else who wished who ran to be recorded in opposition? You did not fill out a form or get called. Okay, Scott McDonald?
Can I stand as being a member of the Academy Road Biz? Can I list the Academy Road Biz as being in opposition?
We actually have correspondence from them, so we have their position.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Scott McDonald, are you here?
Yes, I am. Can I get 3 points of clarification?
You can come up and say a few words and ask the questions.
Okay.
We're not able to answer
the question. We'll have this.
I have three points of clarification that I'm curious about. First one is the distinction between 1A and 1. 1A seems to be really tiny, and I don't really fully understand the distinction between the two. I probably should, but I don't. And the reason I ask that question is because in 4.4 it says, I think it specifically references no drinking establishments only in area 1A, and I'm curious why it wouldn't apply to 1 and 1A. That would be sort of a twinned up question. And the other one, which again probably isn't covered in this document, is when it talks about if a building in 4.8, when it talks about exceeding 25 feet, is there a maximum limit? And that's probably in the underlying act, right? Do we know what that number is?
That was more
a point of clarification on how high a building can be in that area, and understanding is the lack of drinking establishments applicable to 1A or also basically all of it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that.
Very much.
All right. Was there anyone else whose name was not called? The applicant, we can come back up.
Yeah. What I'll explain is that the applicant is also the administration, so if there's questions of the administration, Valdine and David Marsh would like to speak as the administration. They can do so now before we call up the applicant, which would include Jackie to answer any questions.
So will you go the same process and let the applicant finish off and then ask the administration?
Actually, the administration should be asked questions before
the applicant.
So the applicant has an opportunity to rebut any information brought.
So if you could clarify, who's the staff then and who's the applicant?
Valdine will now speak as the administration, not as the applicant. So if David Marsh would like to come in.
I guess the question would be, is she speaking as administration?
She can now speak as the administration, and then once we've done asking the administration questions, then she reverts to her role as the applicant.
Should she have two hats?
At least.
Okay. So, okay, in that case, do you have some questions for our staff person?
For our staff? I guess I just start backwards. Can you explain why the drinking establishment, the banning of drinking establishments wasn't banned for all of one, only for 1A? Maybe explain what a drinking establishment is under a bylaw.
A drinking establishment encompasses a whole range of alcohol-related uses. It's a roll-up of a number of uses that used to exist under the former zoning bylaw, like cabarets, cocktail lounges, beverage rooms, and so forth. I have a definition in the bylaw. Drinking establishment is an establishment or a portion of an establishment licensed by the government of Manitoba where the principal purpose of the establishment or portion is the sale of alcoholic beverages to the public for consumption on the premises. So it's basically a use that involves alcohol. And why it was not applied broadly across the area. Area 1A in the middle at the Warbank intersection, we felt was the most affected by the residential around it because it's a small cluster within the middle of Area 2. Like it divides Area 2 into two parts. We felt most strongly about that area restricting the drinking establishments and not in the rest of Area 1.
Next question I have, let's say a business has a freestanding sign presently, and this PDO goes through as is. What would happen to that freestanding sign?
Nothing.
No, it would stay where it is. Yeah, it's only when we change usage, the freestanding sign. That doesn't, though, apply to mobile signs, because is that correct? Mobile signs would they be allowed to carry forward, or would they be?
Mobile signs are time limited. When you get a permit for a mobile sign, it's for 90 days, and you're allowed to have 3 90-day permits throughout the year.
Right.
So it would expire at the end
of
the year.
So they'd be able to finish a contract off, and then expire after that. And if someone did want to do a mobile sign, the option is coming back for a variance. Is that correct? Or is it?
It would be a variance of the sign type.
sign that got approved, even though it was banned previously, because they came to a variance and did some very good community work to get it approved. I thought they did a fine job. Those are my questions.
That's all you have now?
Oh, no, I have one big one. But I'm not sure. It's the mixed-use model. I know the city's looking at mixed-use models where we'll have commercial and residential on top. And it's been mentioned tonight that may be an option for one particular property. Is there anything the administration could say about that idea, that concept? It wasn't chosen for this model at this time. I know we kind of discussed it, but why didn't we go that way?
The PDO was limited in scope. As I indicated, this is not a plan for the area, so it's it was a limited visioning exercise to address some of the immediate issues that were coming up from the community. So we weren't proposing to designate land use areas per se. We're just using the zoning tool to recognize what's existing there now.
So in the future, in Area 2, for example, or Area 1, it doesn't matter, could someone apply for a mixed-use building? When they redo a building, let's say one house goes and it's in Area 1, but they want to put residential there too, and they could apply for a mixed-use
model. Anybody can apply for rezoning.
Yeah, anybody can apply for rezoning. Okay, thank you.
Anything else, Tom? Okay. So you can put on your other hat, Valdine, and
David,
you should come up as well.
Here's just one point, David Martin, Municipal Planner, Urban Planning Division. Just one principal point to emphasize with the last question you asked, Councillor, about mixed use. The concept of mixed use is permitted or conditional in many zoning districts, like CE1 and C2 definitely allows for residential above commercial as a conditional use. Some of our PDOs, such as the downtown Transcona, one in portions of it, we've gone to make residential above commercially permitted use. If that's something the city wants to encourage, that's certainly something we need to basically make easier to do. The concept that was raised earlier was the concept of residential mixed-use zoning district. Residential mixed-use zoning district does have some benefits. But one aspect that would probably be detrimental in this area is the maximum height that's allowed under residential mixed-use district, which I believe, I'd have to verify, but I believe it's 150 feet. So that may not be the appropriate height and scale. It's more meant for more intense commercial corridors. Could that height be restricted as part of a zoning application? It could. The question is that the appropriate tool or something... C1 or C2.
But it's something we could look at in the future.
Is it the right scale and mastery for what the community and the businesses want? That's questionable.
And just to give some basis, C1 zoning is 38 feet. Is that correct?
39.
Depends on your roof line. Yeah. Okay. And that's present size of most homes. The large, a little larger than depends on roof line.
That's it. 39. Most of our residential commercial zoning districts are between 37 and 39 feet max height. As you go up in commercial zoning districts, allows additional height. C2, I believe, Michael Roberts could correct me, is 49, and C3 is either 49 or slightly higher. Most of the properties along here that are commercial are C1, which is the maximum height of 39 feet. There was a move by or request by many of the area residents wanting to restrict the existing heights in the area to a single story.
Yep.
We thought that was directly contradictory to complete community direction strategy and also a noticeable reduction in property rights for existing commercial businesses that we did not feel was appropriate. There was no rationale, valid rationale to be presented why that should be restricted to one story.
Establishments are already not permitted by the underlying zoning on Academy Road.
It's basically, in layman's terms, the difference is between a restaurant that serves alcohol with your meal versus
a bar.
A bar.
Yeah. That's right. So pretty well, there's no bars at all.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to record and report? rebuttal to what was said by anybody here in opposition. And Jack, you can be part of that.
We have the hats on now. We switched hats.
You're back to being the applicant. Thank you.
No, I don't think so. He's
going to
speak to the
I don't think rebuttal. I was going to clarify some of the communication work with BIS, but I don't know if you wanted any clarification on that. And I think we wanted to talk more about the area, right? The area 1A.
Did you want commentary on the 500 Academy Road proposal?
Yes.
It's kind of difficult for us to comment on because there's no application right now on the table for a rezoning. In terms of the boundaries of the sub-areas, these were as a result of our consultation exercise, so this is our best recommendation based on what community wanted to see and our recommendation for the character of those areas. Certainly a logical extension of 1A if we were going to expand to the west, keeping that cluster as tight as possible so it's contiguous and continues the street frontage. It would certainly be the type of use that would add to the vibrancy on the street and continue on along that character.
Yeah, I was just going to comment on that. It makes a good point that it is across the street from the from the church, and
straight line.
I don't see any. I think there's good planning rationale, one way or the other, and it's the will of whether to jump ahead and enable that future.
Okay. Good. Anything else that you wanted to add, then? John? You ready to go?
I'm good to go.
All right. Thank you very much.